there is. And if you want to claim a child, that'd be great. If you don't want to claim a child, we'll pass them on to someone else. Matthew chapter 2, we'll read a couple verses here in a minute. I just want to share a thought with you. And boy, it'd be a shame if we just spend an hour or so singing and we don't find a little place in the Scripture to encourage our hearts as well. The story that we saw in front of us helps us see a young man's faith and his belief coupled with the desire to see his friends and his co-workers find the same peace and the same joy that he had. It's a setting that I think is something that we can relate to, and at the same time, it presents to us the truth that every one of us one day are going to stand before the Lord. You realize it matters not who you are, what background you're from. Sooner or later, we're all going to stand before God. And the question that was asked is really a timely question. Are you prepared to meet God? Now, the elements we saw appear are fictional in a mini-drama set, but the reality is still there because time is running out for everybody. We do not know how much time we have, and I wonder, what would you say when you meet the Lord? What would I give as an offering before the Lord? You read through the Scripture, there's a lot of people that met the Lord face to face. I've been intrigued this season with these men in particular who the Bible says they brought treasures to the Lord. Matthew chapter 2, notice if you would, beginning in verse number 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Father, thank you for what we've already enjoyed. And now, Lord, for just a couple minutes, I pray that you would remind us of these truths that are found in this passage. Help us, Lord, to have an attentiveness. I pray that the Spirit of God would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, and thank you for standing. Do you realize that all of us have some special treasures? As a child, children treasure different things. Maybe they treasure some toys that they have or some stuffed animals. I remember as a boy, one of my greatest treasures were G.I. Joe men. I just liked them. Now, if you have a problem with that, well, my G.I. Joe man can probably beat up your G.I. Joe man. But nonetheless, I didn't like it when my brother got them out in the sand or when they got dirty or whatever. That was special to me. Growing up now, I wish I still had them because they're worth a whole lot of money. But as you grow older, what you value and what you treasure begins to change. Maybe you have something special that has been passed down from generation to generation, and perhaps it's some kind of special family treasure. Last year, at about this time, I was involved in a car crash where I was hit head on, and I lost not only the vehicle that I was traveling in, but several other what I considered valuables as a result of that accident. You know, I realized, though I knew it, I realized in a little different level, there were some things that are of greater value than that in life. And every step of the way, wherever you are in your journey, God gives us opportunities to recognize where is it we're going to place value. The Bible talks about these treasures that these wise men brought. In fact, the Bible says that when they had opened their treasures, here's these men that come and they worship the Lord and they give to Him these treasures, these things that were valuable to them. In fact, they were valuable to all men and they were presented to the Lord as a gift to Him. We all associate certain things with Christmas. There's some special meaningful things maybe that you like to decorate with or a special treat or meal that you like to have. And I'm not so much interested in those tangible things tonight as much as the Bible gives to us a spiritual representation about what a real treasure is that's not something you can touch, not something you can hold, not something that money can buy, but far greater than that. After these wise men inquired of Herod, they arrived at the home where Jesus was and Mary and Joseph, and the Bible says that they fell down and they worshipped him and they gave him these treasures. And it reminds me of a couple things. First of all, these people had a treasure for him. Now, it would do us good to stop and to think for just a moment about their worship. They fell before the Lord and they worshiped him. I read a story about a man who was leaving church one day and he was complaining on the way out about the music. He said to the pastor, he said, "I really didn't like any of the hymns that you chose today, and I really like any of the singing that we had." And the pastor just kind of looked at him. He said, "Well, that's okay. We weren't singing for you anyways." And that's kind of a blunt answer, but ladies and gentlemen, you realize we live in a consumer-oriented world. I mean, we live in a world that seems to be all about us, and sometimes we get confused as if we're kind of spectators at some sort of an event. That's not the case when you come to the house of God. In truth, we are participants in something much greater than that. We're joining together in voice and song and by way of Scripture to worship the God of heaven. That's not just a religious activity. In fact, real worship costs you something. These participants here, the Bible lays out for us very clearly what it cost them. It cost them that which was sacrificial. They had traveled a long way to get there. It cost them some time. It cost them that which would perhaps be of their own value. They presented to him these gifts. Worship in this setting is a picture that they gave over that which was most valuable to them, and namely, they were presenting to them themselves. Here's a group of people who recognized who Jesus was and what he stood for and what he would be to the world. That is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says they gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read this. In fact, I preached from this a few weeks ago. As I read that, I asked myself the question, what's a kid going to do with that? I mean, what's an infant boy going to do with gold and frankincense and myrrh? How many of you have a baby book? That was kind of like something they did back in the 70s and 80s and a little bit further back. I really lost some. Some of you are like, "Well, I have a book about Winnie the Pooh. Is that a baby book?" You know, that keepsake book that your mom put together. It's got your first lock of hair and your first tooth. Anybody have one of those in your attic? You're not embarrassed to admit. That's all right. Okay. You know, maybe in Mary and Joseph would put the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh in Jesus' little keepsake box, and it'd be there in his little baby book or whatever the case may be. But really, what's a kid going to do with that? You ever get a gift at Christmas that you have no idea what you're going to do with? And to be quite honest with you, you don't really like it anyways. You'll like this. American Express did a survey and they found that this year in 2019, over one-third of Americans will get a store-bought fruitcake for Christmas. Now, I asked myself the question, who's still buying those, first of all? But that's not, wait a minute. The sobering thought of their survey was they found that 31% of Americans will throw it away. Wow! That's almost 100% return rate. I mean, what do you do with a gift that you can't use or that you don't really appreciate or that you don't really like? You know, you have to come up with a polite answer, especially if it's in a family gathering and you've opened it in front of everybody. Well, now there's a gift. I sure hope the dog doesn't get a hold of that because I'll be furious, right? never mind. I better just leave that alone. Now here's in the Bible where God gives us this picture, and I think the reason that there's emphasis here is because God doesn't want us to get lost in the nativity. These are representative, and I won't take the time to go through them, but they presented these gifts, and what they are doing is recognizing that that infant child was a special person. In fact, verse number 12 tells us that they departed a different way. I don't think the Bible just means that they only went geographically a different route, but do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that when they left that day, they were different. They were different people. Something had changed about them. They were in the presence of a child like no other child. And they had a treasure for him, but then they also realized there's a treasure in him. Now, if you have your Bible, just flip a page or two to Colossians chapter 2, if you would. And that's probably more than two pages, but flip over to Colossians 2 for a minute. I want you to notice a verse or two in Colossians 2. Beginning in verse number 2, the Bible says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That's kind of a mouthful, but look at verse number 3. Colossians 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not only did they bring treasures to the Lord, but they found there was treasure in Christ. The Bible tells us that He is our treasure. With Christ, we have everything. And so if you're here tonight and you're a believer, there is no ending to the discovery of all that you have in Jesus Christ. I mean, we can spend the rest of the message just thinking about you can't measure what you have in Christ. You can't exhaust it all because in Him is found, the Bible, all wisdom and all knowledge. That means that in Christ, I can experience the freedom from the power of sin. I can't experience that in anyone else, but I can in Christ. I can experience the redemption that is possible only in Jesus Christ. I can experience the fact that He makes me a saint to dwell among the heavenlies. That's not found than anyone else but Christ. I can experience the fact that He sets me at peace that passeth all understanding. That's only available in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that you look for, everything that you would long for, everything that you would ever dream of can be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because in Him is all the treasures of wisdom. In fact, we could say it this way. If you've ever found yourself looking for peace, it's found in Christ. If you ever found yourself looking for happiness, it's found in Him. If you ever found yourself looking for satisfaction or for joy or fulfillment or for purpose, it is found in Christ. Because He is all in all. He is Alpha and Omega, and in Him are hid all the treasures. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our questions. Now that sounds kind of like a pie-in-the-sky, trite promise, but it's a reality. If you're in the service today, we spoke about the fact that that whatever your need, you find comfort in Christ. Wherever you are, He is that answer. Search the world over, try under every rock and every stone, but it can only be found in Him. Vance Havner made this statement, and boy, it sure is true. We sing, Christ is all I need. But we don't believe that until He is all we have. Boy, isn't that powerful? And you know, when you're in that place where you realize that He's all you have, you realize He's all you need. And these wise men brought treasures to Him, but they all also found treasure in Him. If we believe that and we understand that, the Bible gives to us this picture and it brings us to a place in our own life where we would ask ourselves, I wonder if there's a place where God has brought me in my life to cause me to stop looking everywhere else but to look in Him. Thirdly, let me mention this and I'll be through. The Bible also talks about a treasure that we have from Him. We spoke about that this morning. Christmas time, you will receive gifts and you will give gifts. But all gift-giving is without a true meaning if you haven't believed the gospel and received God's unspeakable gift of salvation. That's what the Bible calls it. We are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you consider the treasures of the wise men and the treasures that we have in Jesus Christ, and yet you do that without really knowing the power of the gospel, it is of great loss. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? and you will waste your life if you do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a great storyline. What a great depiction. How that one man on his way to heaven with assured confidence, even in his dying state, knows that there is peace found and that he will one day stand before his Savior. And yet another man who wants to put it off, who wants to mock it and put it aside, and wasted his life to that very moment. Boy, what a tragedy that is. But the truth is, we see it all the time. I read here recently of a humorous story about a woman that fell out of a second floor window. And she fell into a slow-moving garbage truck. And she was stuck amidst all the litter and the debris there, and she was trying to get the driver's attention, but to no avail. And standing on the street corner there was a foreign diplomat as the truck went by, and he watched the whole thing unfold. And by the way, didn't say a word to the driver as he drove by. But he said to himself, as that woman was in that place, he said, "Huh, what another picture of the waste of Americans. This woman looks like she's good for another 10 years and someone's thrown her away." Now, how silly that is, but isn't it amazing how that life gets wasted over and over? Look, the world looks at Christianity and the church and have no desire of it. They're not searching for answers found in Jesus Christ. They're not thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. They're not looking that the Word of God is going to give them those solutions. That's why, by the way, if you're a child of God, it's our responsibility to share the gospel with the lost man. To help them understand that He is all that I need. And I wonder if there's someone in this room tonight, perhaps maybe God has been working in your life and He's brought you to the place where you would say, "Yes, Christ is all that I need." Maybe it's the voice of a coworker. Maybe it's the voice of a friend. Maybe it's the voice of a pastor or whatever the case may be. As I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that one day the trumpet will sound, and by the scores and by the multitudes and by the hundreds of thousands, there will be people who will be vanished. They will lift up from this place and they will meet the Lord in the air. And the earth will wonder what happened. And you may think that's pie in the sky. You may think that's silly. You may think that makes no sense. But I want to tell you tonight, the real treasure at Christmas is in Jesus Christ. And it's the gift that we have from Him, and it is Him. It's for us to repent of our sin and by faith come to Him, trusting Him as your personal Savior, choosing to allow Him to take up residence in your heart, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. It's a treasure in you that's Him. I'm glad that as a 5-year-old boy, I asked God to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me. And I've been saved now for a few years. And I've not been perfect. There's things I wish I'd have done different. I've stubbed my toe along the way, and I've sinned, and I've fallen, and I've made some mistakes. But I'm glad the Bible promises that Jesus Christ never cast His own out. And I want to say to you that whoever you are in this room tonight, if you are not a believer, when the trumpet sounds and the Lord returns, you will remember that you rejected Him. And just like the man in our story, it'd be too late. That's why it must be today. Now is the time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. Don't take Christmas at just a quick glance. Realize what a treasure it is this season. Would you bow with me in prayer for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to make their way up here in just a moment. Can I ask you a couple questions as we close this service together? How many in this room can say, "Pastor, if I were to die today, if that trumpet were to sound today, I know assuredly that I am on my way to heaven. I know for sure that I belong to Christ as a child of God." If you can say that and know it for a Bible reason, would you slip your hand up just so I can see it tonight? Preacher, that's me. Slip it up. You can slip it right back down. Thank you. Now listen carefully. Nobody's looking but me. If you could not raise your hand, you're not alone. There are several folks that did not raise their hand. Maybe you didn't understand the question. Maybe you do have questions. In a minute, what we're going to do is we're going to stand and the piano is going to play. And I want to invite you, as soon as that piano hits that first note, I want to invite you to slip out from where you're seated. If you'll meet me right down front here on the carpet, we want to take the Bible and we want to open it up and we want to, best we can, try to answer that question for you. We just want to pray with you and be your friend. But my friend, you got to take that step. If the reality of what we saw tonight happened by midnight, some people in this room would not go to heaven. Don't let that be you. Would you stand, please? The piano is playing. We'll begin to